Praise ye the Lord. So the birth of the man child, that is to be the earnest expectation of the elect of God for this age. Looking at the word earnest, what does that mean? It means a solemn expectation. No. A serious expectation. You know what earnest means? Solemn. Serious, you know. We should put all our heart to it. This expectation, which is the birth of the man child, you know. So like I said, the old creation itself have this expectation. They are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What about the sons of God themselves? Aren't they expecting, you know, the birth, their birth and so on, that, you know. So anyway, so the woman in this chapter 12 of Revelation, you know, represents both Israel and the church. You know, yeah, you know, both Israel and the church. So, a travail refers to the travail of the church Israel. I want to call it at that one, so on, you know, both sides, church Israel, as the age nears its end. We are living at the closing of the age. However we look at it, we are at the end of the age. So, woman, Revelation 12, represent both Israel and the church, is confirmed by Prophet Isaiah, and who also mentioned the birth of the man-child when Zion travels. Isaiah 66, verse 6. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she traveled, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. So as I talking about Zion, right? So Revelation 12 is talking about the church, I believe it is. So the woman represents both you know, the church and Israel, giving birth and so on. Here, the prophet Isaiah gave us additional information that before this woman traveled, she brings forth a man-child. And the man-child comes forth first, if you look at it very closely. And then her children came forth after she traveled. There are two births here. And the same thing occurred in both places, you know, as we will see. Revelation 12 also implied that the man-child does not represent all of the woman's children, right? But that there are others of her seed. You can read that in Revelation 12:17. There is a man-child born, and there are other children of the woman, right? So Revelation 12:17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. There you go. Which keep the commandments of God, and they had a testimony of Jesus Christ. Certainly saying, the man-child is a raptured part of the saints, I'm going to say it, and the other children are the tribulation saints, actually, you know, and that's what it means. So the man-child, however, holds the preeminent position, you know, between these two births. Being born almost before the travail begins, the man-child is of the first fruit. Remember, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, there was a first fruit resurrection of the Old Testament saints, right? So we know also the rapture depicts the first fruit resurrection and translation of the New Testament saints. So this man's child, you know, it was the first fruit. The children that are born during the traveling are of the harvest, the tribulation harvest and so on like that, you know. From what you can see from the Bible, Revelation 12:5. Let me read that. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her 1,200 days. So we see right here. So that's it. This scripture here in Revelation 12 is an obscured scripture to many Christians. you know, that they keep the rapture, you know, but many people don't see it that way. But it's the rapture. There are many, they know about other passages of scripture about the rapture, but this one is obscure to them, many Christians, you know, but it is really. So the man child company, the first fruits, are the overcomers. So the following promise applies to them during the church, Revelation 2:26. So apply to them. What does this say here? He say, and he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So the prophecy of Revelation 12, where the man-child is mentioned, is just before the great tribulation. Exactly right. That shows it in rapture, right? Looking at it in chronological order, yes. Revelation 12 is in chronological order. So the man-child company is caught up to God by rapture. The rapture will occur just before the rise of the Antichrist and the great tribulation, which is described in Revelation 13. The man-child is the company of overcomers. They are a type of the five wise virgins that our Lord talked about in Matthew 25. The wise one who were ready and went in with the bridegroom to the marriage. Matthew 25:10 says that. So that, you know, so the man-child, they are a type of those people, wise virgins, who were ready at the coming of the bridegroom. And the reason they went in because they were ready. Revelation 14:4 says this. These are they which were not defiled with women, talking, you know, with women, for they are virgins. So Matthew 25 talk about virgins, and Revelation 14:4 talk about a group, this man-child group, call them, that are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. We know from scripture, virgin doesn't mean the married aspect of life. No. You know, it's just a way of depicting purity for the sins of God. That's what it means here, you know. So anyway, so these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And these were redeemed from the among men, being the false fruits unto God and to the Lamb. That's why we say that they are the false fruits, right? Bible says so, not even just man's word. The Bible says so. We find this company of people as the 144,000 standing on the heavenly Mount Zion. In that Revelation 14, I'm just skipping back and forth the verses in Revelation 14 actually, you know. So they are the company of people, you know, the 144,000 standing on the heavenly Mount Zion, and they're singing a new song before the throne while the great tribulation is still on. That shows you the rapture has taken place and these people are in heaven. Why the tribulation is already is still on, right? We say that because in Revelation 14 verse 3 says this. And the song, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. That they were caught up mid-rapture before the rise of the Antichrist and the great tribulation is confirmed in verse 9 of Revelation 14. So that's why we know it is the rapture. So the rapture has taken place and we are right before the throne of God. Verse 9 says, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So we know why this group are before the throne of God, raptured. Tribulation is going on. They are issuing the mark upon the face of the earth. So there is a pre-tribulation rapture, what we are saying here, the Bible is saying here. Anyway, there should be no confusion as to why this man-child company is also referred to. There are called many names in the Bible, really, you know, if you have to put it together. There are called many names. They are called the overcomers, like I showed before. They are called the false fruits, the 144,000. They are called the virgins. Or even the larger saints. It's all the same thing. It's the same company. This is because it is common in practice in scriptural symbology to call the same person by different names. Even our Lord Jesus Christ himself has many names. For example, our Lord, is called the book of Revelation. He is spoken of as the Lamb of God, the Son of God. Many names, right? The faithful witness, the forbegotten of the dead, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty angel in one place, and the Almighty. So the first fruit company is called different names too, So as the various names of our Lord Jesus Christ show forth his different attributes and offices, so likewise do the different names of the man-child company reveal the various aspects of his character and position. Now, drilling down this chapter we are in, I just want to dwell tonight. Many questions have arisen in the church over the years or decades or time over time. Is the 144,000 an actual number or is it symbolic really? Is it a symbol of a group of people? Oh well, there is certainly a company of false fruits which will number 144,000. There is such a thing really, But the thing is, if you look at other scripture, these are not all the false fruits. By putting other scripture together, why do we think that way? We know the 20 and the 4 elders who are kings and priests unto God are not included in that number. Even Apostle John, who was writing this thing, that God used to write this thing, this seemed to be among the 144,000, as far as we know, that was reporting this thing. So the thing is this, there may be many hundreds of thousands or even millions of others in the first fruits. So we just leave it like that and so like that, So yeah, there may be a specific 144,000, but they're not all the first fruits really. That one, so we know there will be hundreds of millions in the first fruits. So all we can say from the scripture, that's all we can know from the scripture, we don't know. That's all we can know. So and another question is this. Is the 144,000 the bride of Christ? Are those only people as in the bridesmaid of Christ? Again, a good question that I've been asked over the time and so on. There is every indication that they are part of the bride of Christ. That's what we can really say, but they are not the only ones that are in the bride. Looking at other scriptures, for example, like I say, Apostle John, as I said before, was not a member of the 144,000 as far as we know, or Bible shows us. And who will say that Apostle John is not in the bride? I don't know. Who else is the bride, right? It is best for us not to speculate or press our curiosity too far concerning whether the 144,000 are the only one in the bride. But I give an example, Brother John wasn't named to be 144,000, but I know without any doubt that he's part of the bride, right? And it is enough for us to know that there is opportunity for all of us, who will strive for the price. That's what I can say. There is an opportunity for every believer who will strive, for the price. For example, of the 144,000, we are told in Revelation 14:5, I think I read it before, and in their mouth was found no guile, right? That's one of their characteristics. For they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, what I'm saying is this, we can all strive, and to be India, for example, so without fault, right, we are told in the book of Jude that if we contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, the Lord will not only keep us from falling, but will present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Faultless. And that's one of the attributes of that 144,000, right? In their mouth was found no guile, and they were without fault before God, right? And the Bible tells us in the book of Jude that if also, the Lord will present us faultless, without fault, just like know the same thing that you say about the 144,000, right? So I say we have to be, if we pressed from what we say, we cannot be there. I don't know. So time will reveal those who have won this prize. Even Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:12, I'm talking about we pressing on, you know, and we just strive. That's opportunity for every Christian to be there. Philippians 3:12, Apostle Paul writing, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a prize to be won, to be in that first fruit rapture. So let us press on. As an example, it's an example to us and so forth. That's opportunity for every Christian who will press forward, toward that mark of the prize of the high calling of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. No sleeping time, really, you know. We're not of the world. We are of the day, not of the night. That day should not come upon us when we are. So that's an opportunity for you and I as we press forward to that word, that mark. We believe Apostle Paul at length won it. For his testimony said that in 2 Timothy 4. So if you run, you will obtain. He said, run that you may obtain. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, run that you may obtain. Anyway, we know that he won it in 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, he said. Henceforth, that laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, he said, but unto all them also that love is appearing. I love that. So all we have to do, continue to love, part of our, you know, of our pressing through, is to always loving the appearing of the Lord. There's nothing should be put ahead of it. I love this statement that I always think over the years. Everything should become, compared to the coming of the law, every other thing should become nothing to you and mine, you know. We should put it coming first. That's our only hope, our earnest expectation and hope, is the soon appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I like what he said here, that it's not only him. It is really gratifying to note that he said, not only him, will be rewarded, but all them also that have the love, that love the Lord's appearing. So because we love his appearing, we will keep looking for it. As another Bible scripture tells us in Titus 2:13, he says, talking about the appearing of the Lord, right? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I like many scriptures like this that show the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ in just one sentence. Just so wonderful. He called him the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is one and the same. There are no three gods in there, you know. He is all in all. Christ is all in all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So another scripture, he showed the deity of Christ, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Yeah, the same Lord Jesus in different offices. Praise the Lord. Not three gods. No. Only one God manifests himself in three offices. So the Christian's hope is the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I always say it. Take away the coming of the law. What else is left for the Christian? Nothing. So anyway. So the blessed hope is also a purifying hope. You see? That blessed hope is a purifying hope. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not when the Lord comes, if you are born again, now are we the sons of God. Praise the Lord. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, you see, the appearing of the Lord, right? When he shall appear, we shall be like him. for we shall see him as he is. Praise ye the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful blessing to be a child of God, right? And every man that has this hope in self, like I said, it's a purifying hope. The coming of the Lord is a purifying, it's a purifying hope. It's a purifying himself, even as he is pure. That is, everyone who is looking for the Lord's appearing will try to keep himself pure. In fact, we are commanded in another scripture in 1 Timothy 5:22, the last part, keep thyself pure. That's in 1 Timothy 5:22, the last part of it, you know. So as we are looking for the coming of the Lord, our earnest expectation and hope, right? The coming of the Lord, the birth of the man-child company, see? The first fruit, rapture. So keep thyself pure. The blessed hope demands that we be patient, you know. James 5:7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be ye also patient, he says in verse 8. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord dread nigh. Our earnest expectation and hope, the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He demands that we be watchful. Mark 13:35. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, praise the Lord, direct for the master's mouth, praise God, what he expects you of me and you. So if you are watching for the Lord's appearing, we will be careful of our conduct. See? We will not want him to come and find us doing questionable things. He won't. If it's your earnest expectation, it's coming. Serious, solemn expectation, right? Then we'll not be found, doing questionable things or be in the questionable places at the coming of the Lord. You don't want to do that, right? So part of our obligation will be that. We will not want to hoard our money. You see? Nor spend our money in an extravagant manner. Rather, we will want to lay up treasures in heaven. See? By contributing to mission. Christian missionary mission, if you can't go, you do your best to witness, but you can send people to go and some of that, you know. Support missionary work all over the world. Don't forget, in Matthew 24:14, should be every Christian's, memory verse and so on. This God for the kingdom, he said, shall be preached in all the world for a witness among the nations and so forth. Then shall the end come, right? Want to bring back the king? Support mission. Witness, then even over and above that, support mission. You can't go around the world, see, but you can be here and support the mission in Korea or in Ghana or in Kenya. So don't spend your money now. Do what you need. Support the gospel. Bring it back the king, spend it there for yourself. In short, the blessed hope helps us to cling lightly to this world. Don't carry all the world upon your head. Praise the Lord. You cling lightly to this world. It will not make us idle, this blessed hope, or negligent, but it will fill us with zeal to be found a faithful servant at the coming of the Lord. This blessed hope will do that for you and I. This hope we also keep us from being ashamed at the coming of the Lord. 1 John 2:28, as I wrap up here quickly, and we can see what we can do from here. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, see that appearing, the blessed hope and so on, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So if we are watching for him, and our house is in order, and we are ready to give a faithful account of our stewardship, as he illustrated to us in Matthew 25:14-30, we shall not be ashamed when it comes. The blessed hope of the Lord's return fills the heart of those who believe it with joy. You see, if you are really accepting the Lord, it will fill your heart with joy, irrespective of what we go through in this world. We know whatever we are going through now is for a moment, you know, and so contract is eternity, right? So we fill the heart of those who are expecting with joy. Look at the disciples of the Lord and so on. Where at the Lord's ascension, into heaven. Here the Bible says about being joyful, looking for the Lord, in Luke 24:51. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, the Lord blessing the disciples at his ascension, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple. Look at Luke 24, what I'm reading from. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Bible says amen there. Why are they rejoicing when the Lord was just taken out to heaven? Why are they rejoicing? Should they not be sorrowful that the Lord has been taken away from them? But they were not. The Bible says they rejoice with great joy. With great joy. What is it? We know why they are rejoicing. They know the Lord will come again. Because if you look at Acts 1:10, two men have appeared to them at one time. Say, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go to heaven. So therefore, that great joy that they had in going to Jerusalem when he was taken up is because of the promise that the Lord Jesus will come back again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So our earnest expectation as we enter this new year is to be caught up in the rapture to meet our Lord in the air at his coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 said that. So as we go tonight or the end this year, let us cherish, make that our earnest expectation and hope, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if creation itself has this expectation, which is for the manifestation of the sons of God, how much more with the sons of God according to the scripture. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, unto them that look for him shall he appear again the second time without sin unto salvation. We want to be of them that are always looking for him. And Lord, so worship therefore and pray always, that means they are counted worthy to escape all these things. What happened after the rapture, like we read before, they are taking the mark of the beast on earth at that time, after we have been raptured away, right? The Antichrist is reigning. They can't buy or sell without a mark of doom. The Lord says, worship therefore and pray always, as we escape all those things and stand before the Son of Man. Father, account us worthy to be of those. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.